songs. Take your Bible tonight, please. Turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33 is our text. Jeremiah 33. And I'd like you to stand, please, if you would, for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read one verse, Jeremiah 33. And in just a moment, we'll read one verse, verse number 3. And while you're standing and finding that, a couple of announcements. If you have any anniversary tracts, the ones that say 30 on the front, in your glove box or your dashboard or your pockets or your purse, emphasis on purse. If you have any of those, bring them to the soul winning meeting Saturday morning at 9:30 in the North Auditorium. We want to just cover as many homes as we can with the 30th anniversary invitation, and we're down to a few thousand of those, and I suspect we may have some more. So we want to use those up while the time on them is adequate and appropriate. Also, this Saturday, if you'd like to help for the 30th anniversary conference, this Saturday at 2 o'clock is our final work day, and the campus is looking great. Folks have really helped to paint the curbs red for the fire trucks and paint walls, and they're painting up in the offices this morning, and we've got a lot of landscape. But this is the final work day this Saturday at 2 o'clock. I believe the temperatures will be approximately 10 degrees cooler Saturday. I've been watching the weather and praying for good weather. So we'll have the 2 o'clock workday and then some pizza at 5 o'clock. And so meet at the traffic circle if you can help with that. And then, of course, let me mention something we haven't emphasized a lot for the teen camp. We always mention this. If you would like to sponsor a teen to camp, just stop by Information Services or see one of the ushers and give to them the offering for teen camp. And we just want to do our best to help. We have some kids in our youth group who are wonderful kids, and some of them, I was talking with a young man this past week. He's over in the Walther Center right now, and his father died 7 years ago, and his mother's working the night shift at Walmart, a wonderful member of our church. And just doing everything she can to help her kids. And these are the kinds of children that we want to help go to camp. And so if you'd like to help sponsor a child, just stop by guest services and say, I'd like to do that. They'll give you more information there. Tonight, we're going to have a different type of a service because it's the Wednesday night before the 30th anniversary. And more than I'm praying for a good time, and it will be a good time, we have many of our former members coming from all over the country. We have 10 of our former associate pastors coming in. We have guests from Central America, South America, Asia, Europe. We have wonderful, wonderful programs every night. It's going to be an awesome week of worshiping and honoring God. But more than the celebratory aspects, it's my prayer that God would get a hold of our hearts so that with new love for Jesus Christ, we would enter the 31st year to serve Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And that's not going to happen if we don't have God's power on this conference. And so we're going to just have a very brief message tonight, and then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask some of our men to pray. And if it works out and Brother Bobby gets here from driving across the desert, we'll ask him to close our service in prayer tonight, and I'm going to look forward to that very much. So I'm going to speak to you tonight from Jeremiah 33:3. Which is the favorite verse of my wife, Terry, and she often quotes this verse, and I want to speak to you about it here in just a moment. Dr. Bobby Robertson just walked in. I know you got your Bible, but let's welcome Dr. Robertson to our auditorium tonight. Come on up here, Brother Bobby, and just have a seat up here. I'm so honored that he would come, and we've been praying that Brother Bobby would get here safely, and so come on up here and find a seat. Molly going to come up here and sit there with the Goddards, Brother Bobby's been preaching down at Brother Salazar's church and drove up here to be with us tonight. We'll have him hopefully say a word here in just a minute, but we're so glad he's here. Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's read this together. Shall we? Ready to begin. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to open your word and to learn about prayer. And now, Lord, as we have this very brief message, and then as we have prayer, we would ask that you would help us, Lord, to search our hearts, that we would be dead to self and alive to you, Lord, and filled with your Spirit, that we might not hinder what you want to do this coming Sunday as we celebrate our 30th anniversary, as we have the conference, that you would be honored and glorified in all these things. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for meeting with us already tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. There have been several times in my life in ministry and in the life of this church when we have stepped back and simply said, this is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. How many of you long to see something in your lifetime again that you could just say, that's not man that did that. Only God could do something like that. And that's what we're praying would take place here, even this Sunday. I think of the visitors coming Sunday morning that need to be saved. I think of the pastors coming in this coming Monday that need to be encouraged. Many of them potentially on the very brink of resigning their church. Many of them bearing burdens that we would never know. And yet by the touch of God, their life and their church's life could be completely transformed. And when it happens, one would say, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. But oftentimes, seeing the miraculous in that way is only seen because long before the day arrived, there were people who began to pray. R.A. Torrey said, I can give you a prescription for revival. He said, if you'll find a few, and they need not be many, who will get thoroughly right with God themselves and covenant together for the power of God in their life and for the blessings of God in the church, revival fires can still come down. He said, if you'll get a few, and they need not be many. Tonight we have our choir in another room and our teenagers and others out in the discipleship. But in this crowd, even here tonight, if we would band our hearts together tonight and seek God's face, and claim Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3 finds us in the 11th year of Zedekiah the king. During this particular time of Zedekiah's reign, there was a prophet in the land of Judah by the name of Jeremiah. We know him as the weeping prophet. He did not want to see Judah carried away into the captivity into Babylon. But he continually preached to them that if they did not repent and turn away from the wickedness that surrounded them, they would be carried away into Babylon. In fact, his prophecy was exactly correct because in 586 BC, the entire Jerusalem area and the city itself was ransacked and pillaged, and the children of Israel were carried away into Babylonian captivity. But that only happened after God warned and warned and warned through the prophet Jeremiah. One day America may be judged for its sin. And when and if that happens, and I believe it will, I pray it will not be said that we did not have compassion to warn and to warn. Even the press conference yesterday was just a matter of standing up and saying, there's still a God in heaven. And children still need to know about God, and they need to have the privilege to pray. And we want to have the right spirit, but we never want to forget to give the message. Well, Jeremiah gave that message repeatedly. He continually told the children of Judah that if they did not turn back to the Lord, judgment would come. And so it was during the 11th year of Zedekiah that Jeremiah was cast into prison. He was there in prison, frankly, because the king did not like his message. How many of you know that sometimes a fundamental preacher and the things he says can irritate people who want their way without hearing God's way? And he was cast into prison because he was prophesying the judgment of God upon Judah. But while he was there, he continued to prophesy. He continued to proclaim the will of God. And not only did he prophesy about that particular moment in history, but he also looked ahead in his prophecy to the time when Israel one day would have her future glory with the Lord Jesus Christ and the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was that particular moment in prophecy that Jeremiah had when he spoke here in Jeremiah 33:3, and he said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." How many of you are thankful tonight that we have a God that still hears and answers prayer? And I don't know exactly what you sense that you need tonight, but I know that there's a God in heaven who cares. There's a God in heaven who says that he wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain help and mercy and find grace in our time of need. I also know that you have needs tonight and I have needs tonight that we don't even know about. There are circumstances that we may face. There are challenges and needs that we may have in our own spiritual lives, because our heart oftentimes is deceitful and wicked, and we may convince ourselves that we're just fine, but in fact, this Sunday as Dr. Gibbs and Dr. Ouellette preach, and this Monday night as I preach, and as Brother Ouellette and Brother Skelly and some of the others preach, that during these preaching times, God could reveal a need to you that you did not even know was a need until the Holy Spirit of God spoke. And I believe that that's exactly how the Word of God works. It's piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. God has blessed our church for 30 years. And I believe one of the main reasons he has is because of humble people who have continually prayed for God's blessing upon this church. Some of them are not here tonight. Some of them have never been a member of this church. I think of my 97-year-old grandmother who every morning calls out to the Lord and prays for me. I think of how she asked God to bless this ministry. And I think of my mother who's has an Alzheimer's test tomorrow and whose mind is now beginning to drift. And yet there's a few things she still has not forgotten. One, she goes out soul winning every Saturday morning. She has not forgotten the Romans plan of salvation. And two, she has not forgotten to pray for her son, that God would give him power and strength. Perhaps it's the prayer warriors in the Philippines. Every month I receive a letter from Brother Rick Martin. And on that letter are the names of those people in his church who are praying and fasting for Pastor Paul Chapel and the members of the Lancaster Baptist Church. Perhaps it's the lonely widow who spends those hours in the evening when her heart is filled with loneliness praying that God would bless her church, the Lancaster Baptist Church. Perhaps it's a deacon or an usher. But I want you to know that the blessings we have seen are not blessings that we deserve, and they are not blessings that we have somehow made happen. They are the blessings of God through answered prayer. And I want you to just take a notice of this verse with me tonight, Jeremiah 33:3. Notice, first of all, there's a call for prayer. Notice the call that is given by God. He says, "Call unto me." Oh, I'm often humbled by the fact that God wants to even hear from me. Now, I don't know about you. There's a lot of things in my day that can be a negative, if you will. And there's a lot of calls that you get that kind of drain you a little bit. There's problem calls that you take along the way. And I had calls starting yesterday morning from the East Coast, 5 o'clock in the morning, and all the way over to that press conference, calls about this and pulling this and that, this thought and this opinion. And even today, calls that just that can drain you. But I'll tell you, there's some calls that I can make and calls that I receive that are a blessing to me. And I want to tell you what, when one of my children call just to say howdy to Dad, it always lifts me up. Oftentimes it's Matt, and he just says howdy, and then he asks me for money or something. But I'm glad that he at least calls to say hello. Any one of our children that call and they just want to talk, it's just a blessing. Just to speak to them. It's a blessing today. I opened up the mail at home this afternoon. Just one of our church members communicating their prayers to us. I think about our grandchildren and how they just want to say hi and they just want to talk. And I can tell you something. It's a blessing to have communication with someone that lifts your spirit. And I know how much I want to hear from my children and my grandchildren. But it amazes me still that God says to us as his children, "Why don't you call me sometime? I want you to call me. I want you to talk to me. I want to hear from you. I want you to express your heart to me. Call unto me." Philippians 4 and verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Sometimes people say this to me, I would have called you, but I knew how busy you were, and I didn't want to bother you. And I don't like it when people say that. I want to try to be a blessing. I appreciate the sentiment, but you want to know how to pray, and you want to know what's going on. And I want to tell you something. You can never say to God, I would have called you, but I knew how busy you were. He's an omniscient God. He's an omnipresent God. He wants to hear from every one of his children all the time. And he says, call unto me. He says, I want you to make your request known unto me. Isn't that a wonderful thought? God says, I want you to tell me what your need is. And here is a tremendous call tonight for our church. As we come to this 30th year, I believe God still wants to hear from us. I remember praying that God would provide so that Terry and I could just buy groceries. I remember praying that God would provide so that we might build the North Building. I remember praying that God would provide for this building and that God would provide for the Christian school and the Bible college. And I remember oftentimes calling Brother Bobby Robertson over the years, and one of the things, Brother Bobby, you told me, and I'll never forget it, I wrote it down. He said, Brother Paul, if God's in it, God will develop it. If God's in it, God will develop it. And I'm just simply telling you that through all of these years, God has been faithful because of the prayers of his people. And yet he still wants to hear from us tonight. And may I remind you tonight, though perhaps you've seen God and I've seen God do some wonderful things, we need God tonight more than we've ever needed him in our lives. You look across this country and across our community, we are desperate for the touch of God now more than ever. So there's the call to prayer. Call unto me. But then notice secondly tonight, there's the promise. And this is very simple, but what a wonderful truth here tonight. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee. Let's say that together. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Do you know it's frustrating when someone doesn't answer you? I walked into a bank today at lunchtime, and I ran over to a bank, and we're trying to set some things in order for my mother-in-law. And I went into that bank, and they signed the paper, and I stood in the line, and I went around the line, and I talked to someone over here, and they said, go wait over here. I think Terry and I stood there for 25 minutes, and no one came to help. No one. I was being polite. I was being patient. I saw a lot of our members there. I was nice to them. I saw some people walk in. I thought they were coming to rob the bank. I was not sure. I don't often go in to the bank there. And I waited and waited and went up to the window, and they said someone would come and help us with this matter we had, and a little bit more, maybe more technical. But I was waiting and trying to get some help. And I was calling, but nobody was answering. I was waiting, but nobody was coming. By the way, finally, I just walked out and came back for the rest of the afternoon at the church. I'll figure out how to take care of it later. Because I was calling, but nobody answered. I'm so thankful that I have a God who answers. God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. I will answer thee. Jesus spoke about prayer in Matthew 17, 21. He was trying to teach his disciples that he wanted to answer their prayer. And he wanted to answer specific prayers. He wanted to answer prayers that were given with importunity. And in Matthew 17, 21, he said, howbeit this kind goeth about only by prayer and by fasting. They said, we want to see the special miracles and the special works. And Jesus said, that's going to happen only by prayer and by fasting. Don't raise your hand tonight, but do you have something in your life that you're desperate to see God do something about it? And I don't mean selling your car or, you know, giving you a good deal on your house. I'm not, that stuff is not eternal. Do you have something that really matters tonight that you need God to help you with? This kind cometh about only by prayer and by fasting. In other words, if we believe that we desperately need the hand of God on these services next week, who in here is willing to give extra time in prayer? Who's willing to skip a meal or a day of meals and say, God, I just want to talk to you during this lunchtime. I just want to pour my heart out to you that I feel like I've been a little cold, or our marriage needs a touch, or our son needs to get back with you, or I'm burdened for someone that needs to be saved. This kind cometh about only, Jesus said, by prayer and by fasting. He said, if you'll come to me, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you'll come to me with that sober heart and that sacrificial heart, he said, I will answer thee. We've seen God answer prayer. I was at the hospital a few days ago, and we were there talking with folks about my mother-in-law, and there was a lady that looked very, very familiar, and we were talking about end-of-life issues, and it's amazing to me how many people deal with this every day, but they're not ready for the end of life. And I was talking to these several of these folks, and the one lady to my right, and I said, you know, these matters are in the hands of the Lord. And I said, my mother-in-law has accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior, and we believe because of that, she has the hope of eternal life in heaven. And she believes that, and we're thankful for that. And I said, I remember the day when Jessica Downey was here in the hospital, and that lady's eyes lit up. And I said, I remember kneeling in the chapel over at the Antelope Valley Hospital with Brother John Downey, and we were praying that God would wake his daughter up out of the coma from the brain injury. And we prayed and prayed, and the lady said, I remember. She said, I worked here. She said, there were hundreds of you here praying. I said, that's right. And I said, one day as we were praying, the doctor came and tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, Pastor, can I speak to you? And I remember what he said to this very day. He said, Pastor, can you speak to Mr. Downey and tell him that we've done everything we can do, and it's time now. If they want to give some of the organs of Jessica to science, it's time to do that now. I'd never been told something like that before. I'd never told someone else something like that before. I had no idea what to say or what to do. And it was one of those moments, and I've had many, when God used a member of this church to teach me. And right when I was going to tell John what the doctor said, he put his arm around me and he said, Pastor, let's pray some more that Jessica will be raised up again. And we went back down and we began to pray. And it was about 3 or 4 weeks later when Jessica woke up out of that coma, and she works here at the school to this very day, serving the Lord Jesus every day. I told that to this nurse at the hospital. Her eyes got so big, she said, I remember all of those people here and praying, but I never knew the rest of the story. And you know, you will never know the rest of the story until you learn to call unto him. Because he wants to answer. And Jesus Christ says, I want you to call unto me. Call unto me, he says. The call for prayer is clear. The promise for prayer is clear. I will answer thee. But now notice the last part. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, there's some great and mighty things that I know and I've seen. And we've seen wonderful experiences. I remember when Dr. Hudson preached here back in 1994. And Dr. Hudson was preaching, and he had been so sick, but God gave him an unction to preach that night in the old building. Maybe it was 1993, it may have been. And I'll never forget that night as we prayed for that revival meeting, and he preached a wonderful message. Every person in the church came forward. Every person was praying. The invitation didn't last 5 or 10 minutes. For more than 45 minutes, people with weeping were praying before God and seeking his face. We saw some great and mighty things as God was answering prayer. I remember dedicating this building. What a wonderful day that was. It was great and it was mighty. We've seen so many great and mighty things. I think back just to the Easter ago, seeing over 10,000 people in church and over 300 saved. Great and mighty things. And God says, call unto me and I will answer thee. And I will show thee great and mighty things. How many of you would agree with me? When it's something God does and it's great and mighty, you just can't hardly put it into words what God just did. How many of you would like to see God do that this coming week at our church? Great and mighty. Perhaps God would call out several hundred to go to the mission fields or to be involved in Christian service. Perhaps God would cause some people that come with their pastor to love God's man and work with him in the work in a special way. And he says, I have power. And he says, I will show thee great and mighty things. Spurgeon said, God's heart, not mine, is the measure of his giving. Not my capacity to receive, but his capacity to give. And what a wonderful thought. You've heard the story of the little boy that was looking at the candy jar, and he just kept looking at it and looking at it. And his grandfather said, go ahead, you can have some. Go ahead. And he just kept looking at it, and he wouldn't reach in and get any candy. And the grandpa said, you can have some. I told you, you can have some. And the little boy just put his head down. Finally, the grandpa put his hand in there and grabbed a bunch of candy and gave it to the boy, and the boy put his hands like this. And grandpa said, why didn't you take some of that candy? He said, because you've got a bigger hand than I do. God's got a great big hand, doesn't he? And God says, I want to show you great and mighty things. Things that you could never do for yourself. That's what I want to do for you. Things that you could spend years trying to accomplish. You see, when we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. Now, we want to pull the weeds and paint the buildings and pick up the preachers and all these things. And we need to do these things. But let's remember to pray while we work. Because when we pray, God works. And that's why we want to emphasize prayer tonight. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Tonight, we want to pray for all the saints. And I'm not talking about those statues on the wall in other churches. I'm talking about people. People. And tonight, we want to pray for ourselves. We want to pray for our families. Pray for our adult Bible classes. We want to pray for our choir as they sing. We want to pray for teenagers that are rebelling to get right with God. Single adults that are drifting to have purpose. We want to pray for the sound and the video staff. And we want to pray for the pastors coming and the missionaries coming. We want to pray for folks from different countries that are coming. I fully believe, and I pray this often, I believe there are entire nations that can still have revival before Jesus comes. I believe that about El Salvador. I believe that we've only begun to do what God's going to do there. I believe that about the Philippines. I believe that about Thailand. I believe there are some places, Brother Stensis saw it in measure in Uganda. I believe there are places where God still wants to change entire cities and entire countries. But we've got to believe that in our prayer tonight. We've got to pray for those coming from these places. We want to pray tonight for the preachers that are going to preach. We want to pray that God would anoint and bless and use their life. R.A. Torrey said, all that God is and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer. Prayer can do anything that God can do, and as God can do everything, prayer is omnipotent. There is nothing greater than we can do tonight for this upcoming week than to bring it before the Lord in prayer. And so that's what we're going to do. And tonight, I'm going to lead in prayer, and then we're going to have four men who are going to come, and each of them read a verse and then pray. And then, Brother Bobby, after a little while, I'd like to ask you to come up and lead us in prayer. I'm so honored you're here tonight. Pray for our church, Brother Bobby, and pray for our meeting this next week, and that God would bless this church first, that we would be revived, and then the many guests that are coming in, that we would have God's power. And I want to ask everybody in this room tonight to ask the Holy Spirit of God to help you to bring your thoughts into captivity. And that you would be able to focus and to pray in the Spirit as these men pray. And that we would agree tonight that we want God to be glorified in the answer of these prayers. I sense the Holy Spirit's working even yesterday at this unusual press conference we had. You could just sense in the middle of that, with all of the elected officials and all of the press, God was there. And we want to sense that in a very powerful way this week. And so I'm going to pray, and then other men will lead us in prayer. And let's just all join in our hearts together and seek God in prayer tonight.